Amen. Well, we're so glad that you can share here what's going on, what the Lord is doing, and God is good. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to give a word of encouragement this morning. And it's kind of a corrective thing, all right? Now, I want everybody to know that this building is not our building. It's God's building, right? Everything in this building is God. It's dedicated for God's service. You are not my people. You are God's people. Amen? And everything associated with Victory Christian Fellowship is God's. And what that means is, because this is God's, when we come into this place, we need to have the utmost respect, honor, and reverence for God, for the people of God, and for the things of God. And I've heard some reports that, you know, maybe there was an indication that our respect levels have gone down a little bit. And, you know, especially when, I like to think of this as an arena where we're fighting for men's souls. And how many know that God's business is good business? All right? So when you come in here, remember that this is God's house, this is God's place, and let's treat it as such. And when the word is going forth, let's give the word our utmost attention. Amen? And don't let anyone next to you or around you be a distraction to you. And try not to be a distraction to others. All right? And that'll be good. And when we honor God, you know, that pleases God. Amen. So I just want to give you a word of encouragement. So let's increase our respect. All right? Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, and if you don't, we do have the screen for you. But don't just rely on the screen. Amen? It's always good to be able to locate where the scriptures are. You know, how'd you like the mailman? Aren't you glad that the mailman knows your address? Well, maybe most days. Not the days that he brings bills. But what if the mailman didn't know your address and he just, well, somewhere over there, you know? And you miss the important mail that you were supposed to get. Well, that's the same thing is true with God, right? We got to know where the addresses are located so that we can reference them when we need them. Amen? Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. This is by far my utmost favorite scripture because it defines the purpose that God called me to. Galatians 3:29 says, "If you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And we talked about it last Sunday, how to become part of the family of God. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are entered into the family of God, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you automatically become an heir. You are considered an heir of God. But then to receive your inheritance, you have to, by faith, you have to believe in order to possess it, in order to have it. Okay? And we're going to focus today on the promise part. And then we're going to end up with how do we do this? How do we become a possessor? Okay, just a real simple little thing here. And what is an heir? An heir is one who receives his allotted possessions by right of sonship. An heir receives the blessings of God's kingdom promised to Abraham. An heir is one who obtains his or her portion. And that's what an heir is. Can you say with some excitement that I am an heir? Can we say that? I am an heir of God. Let's say that all together. I am an heir of God. That's a very powerful thing. Now, our inheritance is it includes stuff that we can access right now, today, right? And then there's just a part of our inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven, and I'm going to encourage you about the things that you can access today. Now go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. You know, there are two aspects to our inheritance. There is our spiritual inheritance, and there is our natural inheritance. And in Romans 4, we get a glimpse here of how this came about. And let's go to verse 13, Romans 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law works wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they are, as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. So we are heirs according to the promise. How many know that God is a promise maker and God is a promise keeper? Whatever God has promised, he will perform. He will do, he will bring to pass, he will bring about, because God believes in his promise. And anytime that someone makes a will is a legal document that says when I'm gone, when I leave this earth, when I die, I'm promising you to give you this, to give you that, for you to have this. It's a promise. It's a promissory note in some terms. But we are heirs according to the promise. What promise? What promise is God referring to? Go back to Genesis 12. And then I'm going to say a few things about the promise. Then I'm going to talk about the benefits that the promise brings. And then we're going to see how it all comes together. Are you with me so far? Amen. Genesis chapter 12. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, before he was Abraham, he was Abram. And in his journey with God, he got a new name, which resembled a new nature. Get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How was all the families of the earth blessed by Abraham? I'm so glad that you asked that question. All the families of the earth were blessed by Abraham because it was Abraham's seed by which the Christ came to be born as a man. And anyone who has faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians teaches us that anyone who has faith in Jesus Christ becomes a child of Abraham. And the same faith that Abraham used to believe God and to become righteous is the same faith that we use to believe God and become righteous. Okay? But the promises of God are powerful. And by the way, I love that song this morning. That was awesome. So, the promise, and I want you to know that every time God gives a promise, there's always a blessing attached with it, right? Jesus said to Peter, let down your nets. What's the benefit? You're going to catch a great catch of fish, all right? So let's consider the power of a promise, all right? 2 Corinthians 1:20. I'm going to go through these rather quickly, so can you listen quickly? 2 Corinthians 1:20, all of God's promises, he has two responses to his promises. Yes and amen. Amen means so be it. So with every promise that God gives us, and by the way, where are his promises located? In his word. Did you know that, how many know the spaghetti sauce Prego? Well, you know, I remember the Prego commercial. And they would say, does your sauce have garlic? It's in there. Does your sauce have onion? It's in there. Does your sauce have oregano? It's in there. In other words, the commercial was, Prego had everything you need for you Italian lovers. Right? It was chocked full in there. Well, God's word is chocked full with his promises. Thousands and thousands of promises God has given to us in his word, and we are heirs of those promises. We are heirs according to the promise. So, God's promises are yes and amen. God, did you mean what you said you mean? Yes. Can I have what you said? Amen. Anything that God promises, anything, you can have it. What did God promise to Abraham? God promised Abraham that he was going to be a father of many nations. At the time the promise was given, did Abraham have any kids? Isn't that interesting? Abraham had no kids, but he had a promise. He had a promise made by God. God promised Abraham that I'm going to make you a father of many nations. How is that going to be possible? Just believe the promise. Just trust the promise. Just lean on the promise. There's power in the promise. But in order to access the promise, you've got to believe it. You've got to hold on to it. And Abraham held on to that promise. And him and Sarah, when God gave him the promise, he was 75 years old. When the promise came to pass, he was 100. How many years is that for you mathematicians? 25. Isn't it interesting that as long as Abraham held on to that promise, there was no expiration date until that promise came to pass? Well, wait a minute. Now something happened. Abraham got old. Sarah got old. She was 90. Abraham was 100. How's a 90-year-old woman going to get pregnant and carry a baby and nurse that baby when that's born? Now, we don't have anybody that's 90 in here, do we? Maybe some people that are close. But think about it. All they had was a promise. There was no other physical evidence by which this was going to come to pass. Matter of fact, it was impossible. But how many know when a promise encounters a possibility, the impossibility changes to possible? When a promise encounters an impossibility, the promise removes the I am and it makes it possible. So Abraham and Sarah, they held on to the promise. They didn't do everything right, but they still held on to the promise. They didn't let go of the promise. Romans 4 tells us what Abraham did to hold on to the promise. When Abraham's name was changed, think about this. God said, I'm going to change your name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. So every time Abraham introduced himself, he'd say, hi, I'm Abraham. Every time he was introducing himself to someone else, he was declaring God's promise. And the more he declared his promise, the more God's power worked in his life. And at the age of 90, the promise provided Sarah with a new womb. And it provided Abraham with fresh seed. And there was a gleam in Abraham's eye and a gleam in Sarah's eye. And you know the rest of the story. Well, think about it. Isaac wasn't an immaculate conception. Think about it now. Abraham and Sarah, 100 years old and 90, they're going down, they're having a date night. And maybe they went out to eat and got some ice cream afterwards. But it was the promise that God spoke to Abraham. And it was Abraham's believing that promise and holding on to that promise. It was the power of the promise that worked in their lives and in their bodies. The promise changed their dead bodies to living bodies. All of God's promises are yes and amen. 1 Kings 8:56, there has not failed one word of all his good promise. Guess what? God's promise cannot fail to come to pass. The failure comes when we fail to believe it. When we stop believing it. Many of us, maybe you believed in a promise, but somewhere along the line, through life's experiences, through things that happened to you, whatever reason, you stop believing the promise. When you stop believing the promise, you take away its power to work in you. You ever encounter anybody that said, oh, I don't believe that stuff anymore, who once used to believe it? Huh? What changed their belief? I've heard testimonies of churches that don't speak in tongues anymore, but they used to. What changed their belief? Oh, because they want to make it more appealing to seekers. But yet, the greatest outreach result in the book of Acts came when people spoke in tongues. Acts 2, 3,000 people got born again because they heard people speaking in tongues. It seems to me, anyway, that's not my point. My point is, don't stop believing in what God said. And do you know that there were several times along Abraham's life that God would bring him back to what he said? I told you, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. God kept reaffirming his promise along the way. Every once in a while, you need some encouragement about what the promise said. Every once in a while, you need to be reminded about what the promise said. Every once in a while, you need to go back to what God said, and it gives you fresh faith. Hebrews 8:6. Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Can you say better promises? What makes the New Testament better? The New Testament is a $100 bill. The Old Testament is a $50 bill. What makes the New Testament better? It includes the old, but it's got 50 more. Right? That's what makes it better. Jesus is the mediator of better promises, a better covenant based on better promises. What's the better promise? In the Old Testament, God did not live in people. In the New Testament, he lives in people. That's better. We have better promises, new and improved. Right? Because the character of the one who made the promises doesn't change. The character and the nature of God does not change. That's what makes the promise valid. Okay? We're heirs according to the promise. I'm just telling you some things about the promise. All right? Ephesians 3:6 tells us, Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, and they both share together in the promise in Christ. In Christ, God made one new man. He brought together Jew, Gentile, white, black, brown, yellow, doesn't matter. When you come in Christ, that's all God sees is Christ. When a person confesses Christ, God sees you through Christ's glasses. And when he looks on you, all he sees is Christ, because you're covered in the blood of Christ. You're named after Christ's name. You're called a Christian. Christ is living in your heart. And when God looks at you, he sees Christ. And we are joint heirs together with them in the promise of Christ. And now we know that God is patient. From Genesis 3, God said that there's going to be one who's going to crush Satan's head. Now, how many years did that take for Satan's head to be crushed? It took many years for God's son to be born into the earth. In the days of Noah, there were only 8 people qualified. It got so bad that there were only 8 people that were considered righteous. But God was patient. And from Genesis to when Christ came, God protected that line. God looked for a righteous line. David was part of that line. His descendants, God made a promise to David. He said, there's going to be someone on the throne forever and ever from your line, David. And that was Christ, because Christ is a descendant of David, naturally. But God, do you understand? God had to protect that line. Because God, the Messiah needed a righteous line of people to enter the earth into or from. But yet God preserved that line. And the Messiah came. See, the reason that God can be so patient with his promises, because he knows that they're true. He doesn't have to worry about the promise. There's no crack in God's promise. There's no fault line in God's promise. You could shake God's promise in a paint shaker and nothing's going to happen to it. It won't get mixed up. It won't get confused, because God's promise is based on him. It cannot fail. We're heirs according to this promise. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verses 21 and 23. Let's go there. I want you to see this. Hebrews 10, 21 and 23. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So there is faithfulness that backs up our promise. There is truth that backs up the promise that God gives. There is righteousness that backs up his promise. He who promised is what? Faithful. How faithful is he? If he's faithful today, will he be faithful tomorrow? If he's faithful today, will he be faithful next week? If he's been faithful next week, will he be faithful next month? If he's been faithful this month, will he be faithful next year? Will he ever depart from his faithfulness throughout your lifetime? He who promised is faithful. He will stand by his promise 100% no matter what. God will not depart from his promise. He said, he talked about his words going forth and they will not return void unto him because what he says will be accomplished. Because when you have faith in your promise, when you know the character and the nature that represents that promise, that backs that promise, I mean, quite frankly, God's promises are more valuable than our money. Our money used to be backed by gold. Now our money's backed by a promise. And I'm not too sure of the character who's making the promise. Talking about our country, only God can make a promise and stand by it because it's not going to fail or change or diminish or fade or grow weak. Go to verse 35. Verse 35 of the same chapter. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Does your confidence reward you? According to the Bible, it has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the what? The promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. There is never a time to draw back from God. There is never a time to draw back from the things of God. If someone draws back, God has no pleasure in that person. God is not a drawbacker. That's why I don't even like the word going on a retreat. That's not a word that God uses. I want to go on a victory outing, not a retreat. Amen? But why do we let that event be called like that? I don't know, because it's been adopted. So, because Abraham believed the promise, before Jesus Christ had even come, God wrote Abraham's name in the book of life. In other words, he credited Abraham's account with righteousness simply by believing in what was going to come. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So in order to tap into the power of the promise, you need faith. Okay? You need to have imputed righteousness. You need to have access into God's kingdom. Okay? So the promise is very powerful. Joshua said this. He said in Joshua 23:14-15, you don't have to turn there, but he said, know that not one of God's good promises have failed. Everyone has been fulfilled. That's powerful. Amen? So, what benefits do these promises bring us? Okay? Being a joint heir with Jesus means we partake of his nature, of his ability, of his goodness. Okay? Go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Notice verse, I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everybody, if you have your Bible, underline that phrase, life and godliness. That is speaking to our life now and our life in the Spirit. Okay? Does God's promises cover this life? Can we benefit from God's promises right now? How many have been forgiven? You're benefiting from a promise of God. How many of us are saved? You're benefiting from a promise of God. What are you saved from? I'm saved from death and destruction. How many has peace? You're benefiting from the promise of God right now. How many has ever been healed? You're benefiting from a promise of God right now. How many have joy? Woo, less hands on that. Some of you need more joy. But you're benefiting from a promise of God right now. How many can talk with God? You're benefiting from a promise of God right now, today. Because God's promises, they cover life and godliness, the two parts of life, our natural life and our spiritual life. Okay? According as His divine power, notice these words, has given, already given. Not going to, not will, but already has. Has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Notice verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Can we just say those words? Say exceeding great and precious promises. Ready? Exceeding great and precious promises. Now, exceeding great is the Bible's term for awesome, incredible, terrific, fantastic. See, in my earlier days, I used to be known as, I was a superhero called Adjective Man. And one time, I was working at Blockbuster in Cleveland, Tennessee. And because I was Adjective Man, I would always say, have an awesome, fantastic night. I would do a combination of adjectives because we always had to greet people when they came into the store, and we always had to acknowledge them as they were leaving the store. And when I would use adjectives more than one, people would like look at me like, what, huh? You know, it wasn't a bad way. It was just in a shocking way because not many people were used to hearing such good adjectives about themselves. I used to, you know, when people ask me sometimes, they say, how are you? I say, I'm wonderful, fantastic, awesome, great, excellent. Other than that, I'm okay. That's how I would operate as Adjective Man. So God doesn't use adjectives lightly either. When He says something is exceeding great, it's beyond your wildest imagination. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. That means it is so good that you don't even comprehend how good it really is. It is so good, it is so incredible that our human language is so limited in describing it. What was exceeding great? They were His promises. Notice promises, plural. God gave us exceeding great and precious. What do you do with something that's precious? Huh? You keep it safe. You guard it. You make sure nothing happens to it. I think in some ways, the body of Christ has lost the preciousness of the promises. We become familiar with the promise. Oh yeah, I know that. You hear a scripture. I know that. Okay. Well, if you know that, how's it operating in your life? Knowing it and doing it are two different things. All right? How many know that we got to be a doer of the word? Not the Bible didn't say be a knower of the word. No, it said be a doer of the word. In other words, once you know, the reason you know the word is so that you can do it. You can't do it unless you know it. Okay, I better get moving. All right. So, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, you might be, that might be means it's not automatic, it's by faith. Okay? You might be partakers of what? The divine nature. Is there any sin in the divine nature? Is there any lack in the divine nature? Is there any sorrow in the divine nature? But you can be a partaker of the divine nature by valuing his promises, believing his promises, accepting his promises. You might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right. Now, I'm going to give you these. I have scriptures for them, but I'm not going to give you all the scriptures because we don't have time. Okay? But I'm just going to give you a quick one down of some of the benefits. How many love benefits? Amen. A benefit is included in something. Some of you have a benefit package where you work. Okay, well, God has a benefit package. His retirement plan is out of this world. His health plan is by his stripes you're healed. And we can all say we work for a rich Jew who's into many businesses. And he treats me like his own son. Okay, benefits. This is in Psalm 36. God will give you abundant satisfaction with God's fullness, experiencing his pleasures. Satisfaction, abundant satisfaction, and experiencing pleasures. That's a benefit. To be a partaker of the divine nature. That's a benefit. Aren't you glad? Some of you may have a group health plan where you work. The more people that are in, the less it costs you, right? You're a partaker of that plan because you work there. And because you're an employee, you get the benefit of that plan. God gives you power and the Holy Spirit. That's a benefit. After the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, you shall receive power. That's a benefit. Y'all need to get excited about these benefits. Forgiveness of sins and freedom from guilt is a benefit. How many know when we do something wrong, guilt, shame, and condemnation come right in? But in Christ Jesus, he removes them from your life. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Some people like to say the first part. There's no condemnation. Well, read the second part. Divine health and healing is a benefit. Freedom from poverty is a benefit. 2 Corinthians 8. He became poor so that we might become what? Rich. Love, joy, and peace, and righteousness. Those are things that the kingdom of God is made up of: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are benefits of the here and right now. So, like I said, you need to get excited about these benefits. Some of you are in shock that these are actually yours. Victory and freedom from bondage of sin. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. God gives us the victory. Benefit. Hallelujah. Divine guidance. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. How many has God led you through life to do things, to encounter a blessing? He gives you guidance. And guess what? He could talk to you for an hour and he's not going to charge you a dime. And God's not going to say, I'm sorry, my hour's up. You know, like the other day I was vacuuming out the van and I put the quarters in the vacuum and it gives you 4 minutes. And man, you gotta go fast. And then when it gets close, when the time just goes ding, 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 you know, the time's close. God doesn't have one of those. Thank God. You can talk to God as long as you need to. And you won't get charged extra and your time won't run out. Matter of fact, God doesn't have a clock in his office. We only have clocks for our benefit. God doesn't need a clock. Because one thing is, God's never late. He's always on time. an understanding of the mystery of God's will. Ephesians 1 talks about how we've been given to understand the mysteries of his will. Once you understand the mysteries, it's no longer a mystery. God enables you. He gives you the solutions to his mystery. These are benefits that we have being heirs of the promise. These are some of the promises that are included in what he's telling us. We are heirs. These are ours because we're heirs right now. You don't have to die to get these things. You can have these things right now. Psalm 91, he promises to give you security, safety. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. Amen. Believe me, I've needed some security in my life. Vehicles have found their way on my path. Sometimes I was in a vehicle and sometimes I wasn't. But you know what I can say? Out of all the trials that I face, God has delivered me out of them all. There's nothing that you can't go through that God cannot deliver you out of. God can reach to the lowest valley. He can reach to the highest mountain. He can reach to the depths of the sea. And when you cry out to God, he will be right there with you to lift you up because he loves you. The Beatitudes, happiness, be happy. Blessed is the man. You know what that word phrase blessed means? It means be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. I remember that song? Don't worry. Be happy. You'll find you're a lot more happy the less you worry. But he promises, blessed is the man who does this. The Beatitudes are about happiness. We can be co-laborers with God. How many want to work alongside God? Who do you work for? I work for God. You may work for another person, but you're on assignment by God. You need to be a light there. Don't despise where you work. It's an opportunity. You know, when I took accounting in college, my teacher said, we never have a test. We have opportunities. And every time we weren't taking tests, we were having opportunities. I like his outlook, I just didn't like the outcome. I would have prepared better for a test than an opportunity. You know, Ephesians tells us that right now we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You talk about a benefit? Why don't you check out the view from the top? When you're up seated with Christ in heavenly places, your problems are smaller than ants. Isaiah 12 says, therefore with joy you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. With salvation comes true joy. A joy that floods your life. A joy that the world can't give you. God's joy comes from the inside out. Go with me to Psalm 103. I want you to see this one. Psalm 103. If there was ever a benefit package that God would give to people before they sign up for him, this is it right here. Psalm 103. All right. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Verse 1, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not all his benefits. Problem is, God's got so many benefits that sometimes we forget. But he's telling us to not forget his benefits. Well, what are your benefits, Lord? Don't forget your benefits. He forgives some of your iniquities. I was just seeing if you're awake. He forgives all your iniquities. How many does he forgive? Think of all the bad things that we've done in a lifetime. Think of how many things we've done that are against God's law. Growing up. And God forgives us of all of them. God does not bring our sins up to us. God will never say, remember what you did 10 years ago? God's like, what'd you do 10 years ago? I can't remember. There are some things that God can't do. God can't lie. All right? He heals all your diseases. The same power that causes you to be forgiven is the same power that causes you to be healed. How do we know? Luke 5. Jesus told the lame man, he said, your sins are forgiven. And the people were in shock. And he said, is it easier to say, rise up and walk? Same power, same anointing, same thing. But you know what? The root cause of sickness a lot of times is unforgiveness. When you're carrying around unforgiveness, it's like a weight, it's like a burden. It slows you down. And unforgiveness will lead to bitterness. And bitterness will destroy your life. And bitterness will bring strife into your life. So you better deal with the unforgiveness. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. God crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. God is never harsh with his children. He's harsh with the devil, but he's not harsh with his children. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Benefit. Verse 5, he satisfies your mouth with good things. Taste and see the Lord is good. He's good to the last drop. He's good. He tastes good. He satisfies your soul. Some of you are longing for something and you haven't found it. Poor Tina Turner, she looked for love in all the wrong places and couldn't find it. If she'd have looked to God, she would have found it. I don't even know if it was her, but you know the song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, that's the problem. You're looking in the wrong place. Here, someone is ready to crown you with loving kindness and satisfy your mouth with good things so your youth is renewed like the eagles. My goodness, having our youth renewed. I like to hang around young people because my youth is renewed. Is that not a promise? Did not Caleb, who was 84 or 80, say, I'm strong now as when I was 40? How did that happen? He tapped into the benefit. God brings renewal. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Many people think God's quick to get angry. No, the Bible says he's slow to get angry. When God gets angry, it's because he's put up with a lot. It's because our behavior was so bad continually and it never ceased to be bad. Then he got angry, but he's slow to anger. Doesn't mean he doesn't get angry, but it takes a long time for God to get angry. I mean, think about it. God put up with the whiny babies in the wilderness for 40 years. I mean, a bunch of whiny babies. The people who walked through the Red Sea were complaining because they had light bread. The people who saw manna from heaven were complaining. They found something to complain about the next day. God wasn't too pleased with them. So, moral of the story, don't be a whiny baby. How much mercy does God have? He's plenteous. He's got so much mercy, it's new every morning. Okay. You get the idea. There's lots of benefits. All right? How do I access them? That's what we want to know, right? How can I access these benefits that are mine? All right, I'm going to give you 5 keys to access these benefits. Okay? Number 1, you've got to believe it belongs to you. You've got to believe that God's promises are to you. When you're reading a scripture and you come across God's promises, he's speaking to you, not someone else. You got to believe it's yours. In order to enjoy these benefits in this life, you got to believe. Romans 4:20 and 21 says, talking about Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Maybe you're not fully persuaded yet. Well, my question then is, what do you need to get you fully persuaded? You know, some people are fully persuaded. That's a hard word to say when your tongue's dry. Some people are fully persuaded with one scripture. Thank you. Oh, that's what you call good help right there. How long does it take you to get fully persuaded? How quickly can you believe what God said? All right, number two. You must cultivate a lifestyle of obedience. Okay? Your obedience is not limited to just Sundays. Because there's a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday after that. All right? Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place that he didn't know. Okay? He went out not knowing. Isaiah 1:19, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Okay? So you got to have both. You got to be willing and obedient. All right? Go put up 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Next one. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. He's telling us that we ought to be blessing more than complaining. Right? If you want to inherit a blessing, then give a blessing. All right? Next one. For he that will love life and see good days. How many want to love life? How many want to see good days? Okay, he's about to give us a tool that will help us do that. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. That word guile is deceit. Did you know that your tongue has as much effect for you to have a good life and to see good days? It all has to do with your tongue. Did you know that God put death and life in the power of your tongue? So if you want to see good days and enjoy life, you better have a tongue that's right. Next verse. Let him eschew evil. That's to hate evil, okay? Do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it or pursue it. Next one. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Say this, say, God's watching me. Okay? And his ears are open to their prayers. Very important. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Uh-oh. You're trying to get God's attention when you're doing evil? If you want to come to God, he'll listen to you. But while you're doing evil, the evil has to stop to get his attention. Amen? If you want to just read on that further, read 1 Samuel chapter 2 and read about how God talked about the sons of Eli. All right, next verse. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? God will protect you. He told Abraham, I'm going to be your shield and your buckler, your very great reward. Psalm 84 also. All right? So you got to believe it belongs to you. You got to live a lifestyle of obedience. Number three, it's going to take strength and courage. Who was the one that caused Israel to inherit the promised land? Joshua. And how many times did Joshua get encouraged to be strong and courageous? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You hear that? God speaking to Joshua, he commanded him to be strong and courageous. Why? It's going to take strength and courage to stand up and to claim what's yours. It may be unpopular. You may be the only one. It's going to take strength and courage. Okay? You got to believe it belongs to you. You got to live a lifestyle of obedience. It's going to take strength and courage. All right? You got to give your life for it. Number four, you've got to give your life for it. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys it. If you want to inherit the blessings, it's going to take your all. I love God with part of my heart, part of my soul, and some of my strength. It doesn't say that. What does it say with all of my soul, all of my strength, and all, right? I love the Lord your God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. All. Everybody say all. Are you all in or not? Jesus was. Why should we do anything less than be all in? Huh? We got to be all in. And then number five, whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it from the heart. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Okay? Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord your Christ. So when you go to work tomorrow, don't do it for your boss, don't do it for you, do it for God. Work as if Jesus was your boss, because he is. How would that affect our performance on our job? How would that change our attitude? You know, it's amazing when you're in the secular world and people find out you're a preacher and all of a sudden they were cussing and now they stop. Right? But I'm not the one that's listening to them when I'm not there. It's God who's listening to them. You know, great that you respect the preacher enough not to cuss, but you know what? It goes beyond that. God's listening. So we're here today because we're heirs. We're heirs according to the promise. God's promise cannot fail. His promises are yes and amen. His promises are for you today. And God's got benefits. You want to be healed? You want to be delivered? You want to be saved? Come and receive today in the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord, I would encourage you to do so. It is the best decision one could ever make. It will change your eternity. God will never force his way on a person, but he wants you to invite him into your heart, and he wants you to make a confession of that in front of people. Because God said, if you're afraid to confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. So the reason we invite people up front is to receive something that God has for them. So some of you are here today and you need some of the benefits that I talked about. How many know that there's much more than what we talked about today? But today is your day to receive these benefits, amen? If you need to receive a benefit that you know you're missing, God's got it. And God is ready to give it to you today. And I would invite you to come up if you want a benefit, if you need healing in your body, if you need joy in your life, if you need peace from turmoil, if you need to be saved. My goodness, don't leave today without knowing Jesus. That's why we're here. Amen?